Take your Bibles and turn with us to the book of Hosea. Book of Hosea. 10th chapter of the book of Hosea. Please stand in reverence to the reading of God's word. Starting at verse number 1, Israel is an empty vine. He bringeth forth fruit unto himself. According to the multitude of his fruit, he hath increased the altars, according to the goodness of his land, and they have made goodly images. Their heart is divided. Now shall they be found faulty. He shall break down their altars. He shall spoil their images. And now they shall say, we have no king, because we fear not the Lord. What then should a king do to us? They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as hemlock in the furrows of the fields. The inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it, and the priests thereof that rejoice on it, for the glory thereof, because it is departed from it. It shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jareb. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. As for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water. The high places also of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. O Israel, thou hast sinned from the day of Gibeah. There they stood. The battle in Gibeah against the children of iniquity did not overtake them. It is in my desire that I should chastise them, and the people shall be gathered against them, when they shall bind themselves in their two furrows. And Ephraim is as an heifer that is taught, and loved to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. Sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, break up your fallow ground, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Ye have plowed wickedness, ye have reaped iniquity, ye have eaten the fruits of lies, because thou didst trust in thy way, in the multitude of thy mighty men. Therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled, as Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle. The mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. In a morning shall the king of Israel utterly be cut off. Let us pray. Father, again, I want to thank you for your wonderful grace, your goodness, kindness. I thank you for the precious Bible, the Word of God. And tonight, Lord, as we study this portion of Scripture, help us, Father. Help this preacher. I need your power. I need your wisdom. And Lord, we certainly need you tonight. We trust, Lord, that you'll use the message to be a blessing and a help to us, that it might help us to be more like you. And I'll thank you for it in the precious, most wonderful name of Jesus. We'll pray. Amen. You may be seated. I think you'll remember last week we preached basically from the first two verses, mostly from the first, but we got into the second verse also. And God called Israel an empty vine. And he said he brought forth fruit unto himself. And what he'd done that with was the multitude of his fruit that he had increased. Once again, let me remind you that Israel was a prosperous nation at this time. They had much fruit. They had all kinds of blessings that we would call. They had, I guess you would say, prosperity. And we need to remember that, because that's one of the reasons that God is saying, I'm judging you. I gave you all these things. You did not give me the credit for it. You gave the false gods the credit for it. And so what he's pointing out to the fact that their hearts was divided. They had divided hearts. And I think we discussed last week talking about if you're going to have a divided heart, it's because something's going to steal that part of your heart. Something has to steal it. Something has to take it away. And so they had a divided heart, and this was their basic problem. So what I want to do is start in verse number 4 tonight, and we'll go from there. They have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. Thus judgment springeth up as a hemlock in the furrows of the field. He said here that they have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. One of the things in 2 Timothy, the third chapter, 2 Timothy, that is evident in the last days is those who will be truce breakers. And they have, their word does not mean much. I've preached that for years because the reason I preach that is trying to get people to honor their word, to say what they mean and to hold to it. That's important. I've shared that with you before, but I know my daddy. I've seen my daddy many times walk up and shake hands with someone, and it was agreement on something. I've seen him shake hands. We was buying some hay one time to feed our cows. Now, we didn't have a bunch of cows, just had a couple, three. But he was shake hands, and he said, I'll pay you on a certain day. When I get my paycheck, I'll pay you. And he shook his hand. And the fellow brought the hay over, and we put it in the barn, and on a certain day, Dad paid for the hay because his word was good. And our word needs to be good. We need to do what we say. Now, I know there's sometimes that something hinders, that may be possible, something would hinder us from doing that, but even that ought to be accounted for and taken notice of. But I'm just simply saying to you, you notice what one of the things here, they were truce breakers. They was truce breakers. And so he said, they have spoken words, swearing falsely and making a covenant. They had made a covenant. And when it talks about swearing here, it's not talking about the kind of swearing that they do today. It's talking about the fact that they were swearing like you would swear on a Bible or something like that. It was very serious covenant that was being made. And so they would break that. And I'm just saying to you today, these are things that God says and pointed out in the Word of God that Israel was doing. And I think if God pointed them out, they're important.
Amen.
I think they're important today. Our word ought to be good. Amen. Well, our word ought to be good. And so that's the kind of folk that they was doing. And then it says, and judgment springeth up, and the judgment come because of sin as hemlock in the furrows of the field. That's like weeds will grow in a garden. It's interesting, you know, your tomato plants might not grow too much, but I'll tell you what, the weeds will. They'll grow good. I remember when the fellow by the name of Tom out there, what was his last name that plows for us once in a while?
Miller,
Tom Miller. Well, I don't remember that. But Tom Miller, he plows for us. And he came over there one day and plowed my garden for me. And as he picked his old plow up, it was one of those, didn't have hydraulics on it. It had one of these, you know, trip things. And he'd get it up, and then he'd kind of drag it for a while. I didn't think anything about it. And so I took the part I wanted out, and that's what I did. But out there where he had turned up, I went out there early spring, and it just, I mean, ragweeds. I've never seen so many ragweeds in my life. Them things had been underneath there, and they just took root. I mean, they just sprung up. I mean, they was covered, hundreds and hundreds of them out there. And he said that's the way it is here because of sin. Judgment is coming because of sin is springing up like hemlock in the furrows. I mean, and that's the way sin does. It just keeps springing up. Amen. Springs up fast, you see. And so he said, now again, remember, as we go through these things, this is what God said about Israel. This is important because if God is interested in these, we ought to be interested in. If these are character traits that God is concerned about, we ought to be concerned about it. So he says in verse 5, the inhabitants of Samaria shall fear because of the calves of Bethaven, for the people thereof shall mourn over it. You notice here he's talking about the calves. He's talking about those calves that was set up in Bethel and Dan. They was set up there, and they was worshipped. They was golden calves. And he said that they was concerned about them, and the reason they was about to lose them. I mean, these were their prized possessions. These is what they worshiped. And so he says to them, for the people thereof shall mourn over it. I mean, they're going to mourn over the loss of these calves, because the next verse tells us they're taking into Assyria as a gift to the king. And they're going to mourn over these calves. Oh, that we would mourn over our lack of love for God. Oh, if we would just mourn over that instead of the loss of these false gods. And he even said the priest got into it, and the priest thereof that rejoiced on it, the priest rejoiced over these calves. And he says, but he says, for the glory thereof, because it departed from it. In other words, there was no glory on them anymore. They had failed them. These calves had failed. Let me say to you, any false god is going to fail. Boy, just, you know, get a hold of those things and don't follow the false things of this world. Get a hold of, follow God. Please walk with him. Amen. Walk according to his word. I see people today walking, and like they say they're walking with God, but it's contrary to the word of God. You've got to be careful about that. You've got to make sure that what you're doing, what you're following is the Bible, the word of God. You agree with that? Amen. It's not what you think or what I think. It's the Bible. It's the word of God that needs to be followed. Okay? And then, of course, he says in verse 6, it shall be also carried unto Assyria for a present to King Jarib. Ephraim shall receive shame, and Israel shall be ashamed of his own counsel. In other words, Israel is going to be ashamed that they followed these false gods. And it's going to bring shame upon Israel. You remember when Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. You remember, you know what that means, and that word ashamed means? It means not that I would be ashamed of Christ, but shame will never come to me because of my belief. Never will. My belief in Christ will never bring shame to me, because it's true, it's right, it's real. And you cannot and will not ever be brought to shame because of your belief in Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen? But here, the belief in the old false gods and all those things, you see, it brought shame unto them and unto Ephraim and unto the people. So he says, "For as for Samaria, her king is cut off as the foam upon the water." Their trust, another one of their trusts, was not only in their false idols, but in their kings, in their leadership. Folks, listen, our trust must be in God. Amen. Not leadership. We thank God for leadership. We thank God for our president. I thank God for our president. But our trust must not be in President Bush. Our trust must be in God Almighty. That's who we must trust in. Amen. And this was what they was doing. Their trust was in the king, you see. And then he says, and he said, it'll be cut off as the foam from the water, upon the water. It's just like as a boy, I imagine you've done this too, especially boys used to do this, but I'd be out on a creek bank somewhere, take a stick and throw it into the creek bank, and then run along the creek bank and watch it as it traveled. And it would go fast sometimes if the water was up, and pretty soon it'd be gone. That's what God's saying here about the king. It'd be like foam on the water. It's just going to be taken away and carried away, and he'll be gone. He'll be cut off. You see, and God never will be. God will never be cut off. You see, but these kings and things that we can trust in, these idols that they was trusting in, will be gone. They'll be carried over to Assyria as given as a gift. See, the foam on the water will be gone. The king will be gone in a short time. See, that cannot be where our trust is. Our trust must be in God. And if I can do anything as a pastor to teach you to trust God, that's what I want you to do. I want you to trust God. Put your faith, your trust in God. Every day. Walk with God. Serve him. Love him. Amen. You see, that's where your trust must be. It's not in other things. It's in God. You see, and this was their problem. They didn't trust the true and the living God. In fact, the Bible says they forgot their maker. Remember back, I think it was the 9th chapter, they forgot their maker. And then in verse 8, he says, the high places unto of Avon, the sin of Israel, shall be destroyed. The thorn and the thistle shall come up on their altars, and they shall say to the mountains, cover us, and to the hills, fall on us. He's simply saying that those altars that they had built, if you was here before and we've been studying with us through Hosea, they built many altars. They built many fenced cities, and that was their dependence. That's who they loved. That's what they depended on. And he said, what's going to happen down the road is because you're going to be taken into captivity in Assyria. These altars that you love so much are going to, because there's going to be thorns and thistle grow up on them. They'll be brought to ruin. How many times have we driven down the highway and we, Donna, she's always liking these old houses and things like that. And she'll say, isn't that a shame that they let that house just go down. It's no good anymore. And there it says, just rotting. We like them. You know, I like to see the old houses, you see. It's because it's brought neglect, you see. No one's cared for it and took care of it. And you can see those little places all over the country, places where houses are just, just being destroyed, but there's thorns and thistles growing up all around them. God said that's the way it's going to be with your altars. You know, false altars. Now, if I can just say something to you, listen to me. It may look good now to Israel. It all looked good. They really thought they had it made. The false altars, their faith in their king, and all of these things. At that point in their life, it all looked good. You see, but you gotta look down the road. You got to keep your eye on God, not all of this false stuff. You got to see what's going to happen down the road.
Right.
Do you hear me then? You know, I'm going to tell you, I've preached and counseled this for 30 some odd years. And it's hard to get people to not look at the present. Because it all seems good, seems great. But boy, down the road, destruction. You understand what I'm saying? Now, the only way you're going to change that is make changes back here. Make different choices back here. If you don't make the choices back here, you're going to face calamities on down the road. You hear me? So, I mean, it all seems good now. Nothing's happening. I hear this all the time. Well, I'm getting along all right. But wait down the road. I'm telling you, it's the sowing and reaping. And sowing takes a long time to, after sowing, to reap. There's always a period of time. I was talking to a preacher the other day, and we was talking about the sowing of discord in churches. We was discussing the fact anything you sow takes a while before it reaps. And when there's discord sowed in a church, it's going to take a while for that to reap, to grow up. You understand what I'm saying? But it will grow. It'll be proven for what it is, but it will grow. But it takes time. Always. After sowing. To see the reaping. Amen? Amen. So he said in verse number 9, he said, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. Listen, you go back sometime and read this story in Judges, the 20th chapter of Judges, and that's the story he's talking about. It's a horrible story. What happens is Israel is fighting Benjamin, his brother, the tribe of Benjamin, his own brothers, and they slaughter each other. I mean, it's a horrible slaughter that happens there. And he talked about the sin here of Gibeah, but I want you to notice he's talking about the past sin of Israel, the past sin. And he's looking back over the past sin, and basically what he's saying is that was the past sin, but you're still doing it. You're still following those same principles that you did way back here in the past, back here at Gibeah. See, haven't you learned your lesson? Haven't you learned what happened back there? Don't you think it's time to change your actions and do right.
Yes, sir.
And so remember something, our past, I'm talking about way back, you know, we need to make right choices. We need to make correct choices. Now, I don't know how many people I can get to on that, but you better get a hold of it. Because the choices you make now is going to depend on what's going to happen down the road. See, that's true of your children. You better make good choices for your children. Because you're responsible to make those choices. And you better make good choices. There are people probably right here in this room would say amen to that, Brother Ross. Preach that to them and tell them to make good choices. Because you're wise enough to know that that's what should be done. And you got to make choices now, though. They're going to affect down the road. They're going to grow up. You understand what I'm saying? Those choices are going to grow, and it's going to determine what's down the road. See, we think we make bad choices, and it's all right, God will straighten it out down the road. But no, it's the sowing and the reaping. Make sure that you sow good seed. We'll get to that in a minute, but make sure you sow good seed. Okay? So he's saying here, in verse 9, O Israel, thou hast sinned from the days of Gibeah. There they stood. In other words, Israel's sin was of old, okay? And he says, there they stood, they persisted in it. They didn't walk away from it. They didn't change it. They didn't change directions. No, there they stood, untaken care of. Unrepented of. You know, the wonderful thing I find in the Bible is this. Whenever there's repentance, God forgives. We may have to still suffer some of the consequences of our choices, but there's a forgiveness there, and God wipes that clean. But there has to be true repentance. True repentance. Sorrow for that, you see. And that's something Israel did not do. No, they were still standing. They were still persisting in the same sin that they'd been doing for a long time. All right? And so then God says, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll take care of it now. You wouldn't take care of it. So what's he say he's going to do? In verse number 10, he says, it is in my desire that I should chastise them. Listen, this is a desire of God. What God is saying is, if you're going to persist in your sin and continue in your sin, I'm going to chastise you. Now that sounds just like, oh well, so we're going to get, no, you better think about that, because that's serious chastisement. And God says it's his desire to do that. You know why? To get us right with him. You see, chastisement. It's better to turn from our sin without God having to chastise us. Isn't that better? Wouldn't that be better? Because then, you know, God is pleased when we turn from sin. God is pleased when we ask forgiveness and are cleansed from all unrighteousness. That pleases God. But if it doesn't happen, he's going to bring chastisement. Okay? So there again, we better be careful of our choices. Okay, make the right choices now. Because you're not, and I'm not either, going to escape the chastisement of God. There's none of us going to escape it. God loves us too much. Amen. Anyway, then he says in verse number 11, and Ephraim is as a heifer that is taught. Ephraim is like a heifer. Or an ox that is taught, she's been trained to do the work that she's supposed to do. And listen what she loves to do. It says, and loveth to tread out the corn. But I passed over upon her fair neck. What he says is she loved the treading out the corn. She loved to be out there because the oxen is not muzzled. So she can just eat all she want. She was loving this position of this prosperity that she had. And she was one that was trained, and that's what she did. She done this work as Israel did. She'd done this, and she'd been taught that this is an easy life, at ease in Zion. But God said, I'm going to change that. And what he said basically was this. He says, I have passed over her fair neck. In other words, I have put on to this heifer a yoke. You thought you was doing so well. You would not listen to me. Well, I'm going to put a yoke on you. Bible says in Psalms 32 to do not be like the mule or the horse. The mule is one who's always holding back. The horse is one who's always springing forward. And God says in that psalm that he'll have to put a bit in his mouth to hold him back. Now, if you think that God still does not have bits, he knows how to put a bit in our mouth. He said, I'll put a yoke over your neck, is what he said to Israel. I'll see to it that you don't get by with that sin. Remember over in Hosea 9, verse 9, he says, they have deeply corrupted themselves as in the days of Gibeah. Therefore, he will remember their iniquity. He will visit their sins. You see, if we don't repent from that sin, God's going to visit our sins. You understand? It's that simple. We don't repent. We don't get right with God. God's going to have to, he's going to remember their iniquity, and he's going to visit their sins. And he says, you've been like a heifer. You've enjoyed Israel. You've enjoyed your life. You've got prosperity. You've got all these things. Everything is so nice. Well, I'm going to tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to slip a yoke over your neck. Okay, listen to what he says. He says, and I will make Ephraim to ride, Judah shall plow, and Jacob shall break his clods. And anyway, there's tough days coming ahead. It's not going to be the easy life anymore. You're going to be in Assyria, in captivity in Assyria, and you're going to learn how to plow. You're going to have to learn how to plow the clods. It's going to be hard. It's going to be difficult. You're not going to have this easy life anymore. I really believe with all of my heart God does us that way. I believe with all of my heart when we will not repent, we will not do right, God slips a yoke over our neck and he says, just hold it a minute. You better look out because you've got some rough things ahead of you. Tough things ahead. Amen. So wouldn't it be better to choose right? To do right? Wouldn't that be better? So he says to them, he says, sow to yourselves in righteousness. I want you to listen closely to this. He says, sow to yourselves. It's the responsibility of each one of us to sow righteousness ourselves. It's up to us to sow righteousness. You hear what he's saying? To sow to yourselves in righteousness, and he says, and reap mercy. Now listen, you hear what he's saying? If you'll sow righteousness, he says you'll reap mercy. I don't know about you, but I need God's mercy. And we must sow in righteousness to receive that mercy of God. Okay? You understand what I'm saying? So don't you think some good choices would be right? Do you think it'd be better to live a life of honesty and justice and goodness and kindness? Don't you think it would be a lot better to live that kind of life so we can sow in righteousness that we might reap the mercy of God?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And he says to yourselves, I've thought about this a lot. My wife and I have been together now, married for 48 plus years, and it's been a thrilling life. I've been grateful for it, thankful for it. But when I reach heaven, she's not going to be standing there beside me, and I'm not going to be standing beside her at the judgment seat of Christ. She'll have to answer for her. I'll have to answer for me. See, a lot of people think that they're going to stand with a group of people. Well, we done good. No, no, no. You're going to stand there, and I'm going to stand there in front of Christ personally. How did I sow? Did I sow righteousness? So that I might reap the mercy of God? You understand? You want God's mercy today? Then sow righteousness. Quit being a deceiver. Do right. Live right. Sow righteousness. So you'll reap mercy. You better listen to these principles. Now you better get a hold of them. Again, you'll choose whether you do or not. It's your choice. It's not my responsibility to make you believe. It's my responsibility to tell you what God would tell me to tell you. Listen to what he says. So what does he say? How are you going to do that? Well, you're going to have to prepare the soil. Break up your fallow ground. There's a lot of ground that's fallow ground. Sometimes that means the new ground that's never been broken before. Sometimes it means the old hard ground that needs broken up so the seed can be sowed in that ground. God said if you want to sow righteousness, you're going to have to break up the fallow ground. It's old hard hearts that's going to have to be broken up before the seed will take root. So I'll go out and do some nice works and sow a little righteousness, but if the old heart is hard, it'll mean nothing. And it won't spring up for nothing. There's some things in everybody's life here, I'm sure, that needs broken up. There's some fallow ground there that needs broken up. Every day I live, I look back on my life and I say to the Lord, you know, I didn't even realize some of that was in my life, and you showed me. You showed me and you caused me to see it. Thank you for doing that. I'm never going to stand before my God anytime in prayer and say, boy, I am really doing great. About that time, I'd be getting up off the floor somewhere. Don't you think? No, but break up the fallow ground. And I want you to notice something, what it says. Break up your fallow ground. Your. Mine. Me. You. Not somebody else's. Break up your fallow ground, is what God said. See. And for it is time to seek the Lord. Whew. Folks, it's time to seek the Lord. Yes, sir. Amen. See, I've seen it for 35 years. I've watched it for 35 years. There's so many of us at time to time, and we wanna look out here and try to find somebody else's fallow ground to break up, and we don't want to seek the Lord ourselves, and we look at things and still sinning, still going the wrong way, and we say, oh, we're seeking the Lord. No, we're not. We've got to break up some fallow ground, sow seeds of righteousness. Amen? That should be a personal thing.
Amen.
Every one of us. And then he says, why? How long are you going to do that, Brother Ross? Well, he says, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. And I don't think he's just talking about the coming of the Lord there. I think he said, seek the Lord until he comes and blesses you.
Amen.
Just keep seeking him, sowing seeds of righteousness till he comes and blesses your life. But you can't make these wrong choices and expect God to come and bless your life. Hear me? Right? Right. And he said, that's when you do it, till he come and rain righteousness upon you. God wants to bless. This thing with working with God isn't done overnight. I'm just telling you right now. You say, well, I'm going to seek God tonight all night. In the morning, everything ought to be all right. Phooey. That's not the way it works. I'm not saying you won't feel better in the morning because you've sought the Lord, but I'm going to tell you, it's not a one-night deal. It's not a one-day deal. It's a lifetime deal. sowing righteousness for life. And he said, but what have you done, Israel? Well, in verse 13, ye have plowed wickedness, and you've reaped iniquity. He said, ye have eaten the fruit of lies. They were liars, and they ate the fruit of those lies. He said, they plowed, instead of righteousness, they plowed wickedness, and because of that, they've reaped iniquity. He goes on to say, because thou didst trust in thy way. You notice that thy way. Do you hear that? Thy way. You trusted in thy way. Not God's way. Thy way. You got it all figured out. But it's not God's way. Did you hear what he said? See, they put their trust in thy way. Their way. Not God's way. See. And then he says, in the multitude of thy mighty men. And they trust was in their mighty men. Trust was in everything but God. You understand? Get our trust back in God. His way, not thy way. Get our trust back where it belongs, in God Almighty. What he says in his book, that's the right way. Amen. Amen. Then he says, therefore shall a tumult arise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled. See, the fortresses was those fenced cities that they were so trusting in. And he says, what will happen? He said, they'll be spoiled. They'll be torn down. You won't have them to trust in anymore. We've got some fortresses in our lives that need to be broken down, that we are trusting in. We're trusting in self instead of God. I'm just saying this to you, folks. God is the one that must be trusted in, or down the road, things are going to fail in your life, because God won't let it prosper. He won't let it, and he shouldn't. See, you think, well, I'm doing good. I've got it all planned. Forget it. You don't trust in God. Believe in God. Go according to his word. See, our old fences that you and I build and those fortresses around us are going to be spoiled. They're going to be brought down. See. And then he said, because thou didst trust in thy way and the multitude of thy mighty men, therefore shall a tumult rise among thy people, and all thy fortresses shall be spoiled in Shalman. That Shalman is short for Shalmaneser, which is the king of Assyria. As Shalman spoiled Beth Arbel in the day of battle, the mother was dashed in pieces upon her children. You know what was happening there? What it's simply saying is this. The children was taken and smashed on the rocks. And their mothers also, then after them, was taken and smashed on the rocks, destroyed. Now what he's saying, and look at that last verse. So shall Bethel do unto you because of your great wickedness. Said, same thing's going to happen to you, Israel. Syria is going to bring those same kind of things to you. And I think about it. I think about it not necessarily the smashing of the children or the mothers on the rocks, but I think of it the destruction of our children. Destroying of our children's lives. Getting them away from God, not following the word of God for their lives and putting some standards in their life. Say, I know, but no one else is doing that, Brother Ross. Let's see how it all turns out. Let's just see how it all turns out. Let's give it 15 years. Let's look at it. 15 years down the road, let's look at it. Deal? You understand what I'm saying? Say, no, right now, no, I don't want. Let's just look at it. 15 years down the road, we'll see what comes out right. Make right choices. You make right choices now for the future. Amen. Let's pray. Father, again, I thank you today for your goodness and kindness and grace. Trust that this was pleasing to you tonight. We've tried to point people to you. And, oh, Lord, help us to trust you, the true, the living God. Not our smarts, what we think we know, but what the Word of God says, what you have instructed us in. Help us to follow those ways. Lord, not our way, but your way. And we'll thank you for it. Father, we trust if there's anyone here tonight that is not saved, oh God, this would be the day of their salvation. We trust as Christians tonight. If there's a need in our heart and lives that needs to be taken care of or just dealt with at an altar of prayer, you'll allow our hearts to be tender and for that to happen. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.